previous year, we were trying to develop some of the principles concerning Sfeik Sveika. So we pointed out that there is one Yisod in Hilchos Sfeik Sveika, at least that the Baal HaTosfos assumes a correct Yisod, and that's the concept of the Sfeik Sveika Mishia Mechod. That if the two Sveikas are really saying the same thing, they're just formulating it in slightly different nuances, but basically the nature of the suffix is really one and the same. So Tosfos claims that doesn't qualify as a Sfeik Sveika. The prototype for such a Sfeik Sveika that would be invalid was the Sfeik Sveika about Shemechod, that it's Ones. Going back to the original Gemara, Ksubas Taf Tes, when the Gemara was trying to figure out whether this woman is muteris to a husband or not, so we had a Sveik Sveika. We realized that she's not a Basula, but we have a Sveik Sveika. Suffolk Echad was, maybe it's an Ones, maybe it's a Baratzon, and Suffolk number two, that maybe she became not a Basula, the Tachta, or in a Tachta, maybe that before she was married, maybe it happened while she was married. So the Gemara assumed those were two equally valid Sveikas, and they combined together to create Sveik Sveikas. The Taisus asked the question, why does we have to go searching for the second suffix of suffix tachtav, suffix in a tachtav? We can create a sveik sveika even without that factor. So Tosfos said, it's in the case where it was a little girl, that was one of the cases in the Gemara. Maybe it was Ones, maybe it was Ratzon. And either if it was Ratzon, maybe it was when she was a Ketana, and Pita Ketana Ones. Whatever happens to a little girl is by definition considered to be an Ones. So Tosfos said, why doesn't that qualify as a sveik sveika? So the answer is because it's saying the same thing. The Pita Ketana Ones means that it's a suffix whether it's an Ones. So basically, all you're saying is, maybe it's a Ratzon, maybe it's an Ones. And suffix number two is, maybe it's a Ratzon, maybe it's an Ones. So you revamped Ones. So Ones means either forcibly raped, the Ones means seduced as a child. But at the end of the day, it's the same latest as suffix in Halacha. If that wouldn't qualify as a sveik sveika. That was Tosfos' Yisod. We spoke a little bit about some of the limitations of that principle of sveik sveika b'shem echad. In light of this principle that's usually assumed, like this Tosfos, that a sveik sveika b'shem echad is not valid, there is a very famous sveik sveika, which is a very difficult sveik sveika. We spoke about this on Pesach a little bit. That's the Ramah sveik sveika about Chodosh. We'll give a whole shia one day of Yontif about all the different opinions in the Rishonim, how Chodosh plays out this man hazeh. We're making a little Chodosh and Chutz La'aretz for a variety of other reasons. But comes the Ramah and says that maybe one of the reasons why we can be very lenient about Chodosh, about the new grain, this man hazeh, is because every time I go and I eat a bagel, every time I go get a piece of cake, I really always have a sveik sveika on my side. What's the sveik sveika? So says the Ramah, I don't really know where the grain is from. I don't know whether it's this year's grain or whether it's last year's grain. So that's a suffix echad. That's not going to solve the problem. Chodesh is the araisa. So what's the second suffix? So comes the Ramon and says, well, maybe it's this year's grain and maybe it's last year's grain. And even if it's this year's grain, it's possible that the grain reached Tashrasha before the Omer was brought. It means the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Menachos that anything that's planted and takes a root before the Korban Omer, before the second day of Pesach, is technically Hutar Ayudei the Omer. The Omer can be Matur. Anything that was already planted, that already took root, is already included in the Heter of Chodesh. It's now called Yosha. It's not called Chodesh anymore. So comes the Ramon and says, Asfeik Sveika. Maybe this grain is from 20 years ago, and maybe it's from this year. And even if it's from this year, it's also not a dead giveaway that it's a problem. Even if it's from this year, it may still be mutter because maybe it took root before the Omer. So the Rabbah says, therefore, well, you don't know, doesn't hurt you. All grain is mutter. It's always a sveik sveika. So come the Achrarim and say, that's not a good sveik sveika. That's mamashem echad. That the halachic definition of being last year's grain or this year's grain is, did it reach Ashrasha before the Omer or not? So that's like saying, maybe it's grain from the year 2000. And maybe it's grain for the year 2001. That's not a sphinx figure. Is that if today's 2011, so we're trying to figure out, either it's last year's grain. Last year means anything before this year. So maybe it's last year's grain or it's this year's grain. So how could you say that maybe it's last year's grain and this year's grain? And then your second suffix is, basically, maybe it's last year's grain or this year's grain. Whether it took root before the Omer is the determining factor, whether it's last year or this year. So that's vital, sveik sveika b'shem echad. So what does the Ramah mean? If we accept the rule that sveik sveika b'shem echad is no good, like the case of Ones, maybe it's Ones because of physical rape, maybe it's Ones because it was seduced as a child, that's the same suffix. So maybe it's grain from 20 years ago, maybe it's grain from halakhically last year, that's vital, that's also considered to be the same suffix. So what's upshot in the Ramah? So the Chavos Das, the Baal HaNesivos, suggests that maybe what the Ramah is driving at is as follows. There is a fundamental difference between the two cases, the case of the Shem Echad of Ones and the case of the Shem Echad of the new grain. Says the Chavos Das, the case of the new grain as a natural order of things. It's a natural occurrence of things. We're basically trying to figure out where this grain grew. When this grain grew, naturally what happened. In the case of the Sfeik Sfeik of Shem Echad of Ones, there's no natural events that happened. A woman was attacked. So either she was attacked or she wasn't attacked. Either she did it willingly, she didn't do it willingly. Either she was a Ktana, she was a Ktana. She was married, she wasn't married. There's an event that took place. It wasn't part of the natural course of events. It was an event that took place. And now we're trying to be done on what were the circumstances of that particular event. Why does it make a difference? So says the Chavos Das, whenever we're trying to determine what happened naturally in the world, so we know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world in such a way that there's grain that grows now, there's grain that grows tomorrow, there's grain that grows next week. There are always things that are happening in the course of nature. But that is part of the natural world. We're using the term Sfeik Sfeika really not halachically accurately. This is not a Sfeik Sfeika in the classic sense of the word. What we're really trying to do is determine what the Rov is. We're trying to figure out, Lamaisa, when is it most likely, when is it most probably that this grain grew? We know that all grain grew at some time. I have a bagel sitting on the table in front of me. So I know it came from wheat. I know the grain grew at one time. So we're trying to figure out, statistically, what are the odds when this grain grew? So we use terms called Sfeik Sfeika, really colloquially. They're not really Sfeik Sfeika. But what the Ramah is really saying is that, is it a rov? What are the odds that this bagel in front of me is Chadash? So it's a combination of all these factors that, well, it could have been last year's, it could have been this year's, and even if it is this year's, it could have been before the Omer. So there are a lot of factors pointing in the direction that statistically there's a 75% chance that this grain is really not Chadash, that this bagel is really Mutter. So what the Ramah really meant to say was Rove. He used Sfeik Sfeika to create the Rove. You can only do that, you can only speak about Rov when we're dealing with something which we know does happen in the natural order of things. A woman being Mizana, that's not a natural event. So that's something that the only kind of a space faker we could draw for to say whether something which is Yotzim and a Teva took place, we go back to the blackboard, we spoke about it in the past. Is it a blackboard Rov or is it not a blackboard Rov? The only way to create a blackboard Rov is to draw a chart, make four boxes, count up the boxes and say, three out of the four boxes are pointing in the direction of Mutter. When you're dealing with something which is not part of Derech HaTeva, then you have to fall back on the halachic principle called Sfeik Sfeika. You want to rely on Sfeik Sfeika, that's fine. We have no qualms about relying on Sfeik Sfeika, but it has to be a Sfeik Sfeika. So one of the ABCs of Sfeik Sfeika is that the four boxes have to be four separate distinct boxes. If you keep on having the same answer pop it up in the same box, that's what's called Shem Echad. So if the name of the Heter is Ones, and the name of the Heter of another box is Ones, and the name of the Heter of a third box is Ones, if everything is Ones, so you're saying the same thing. It's not a Sfeik Sfeika, that's a Sfeik Echad, that's something that Raisa L'chumra. So the only way that we have a right to take something out of the realm of the blackboard and put it into real statistics, Sfeik Sfeika is not real statistics, it's a fake Sfeik Sfeika. Sfeik Sfeika doesn't correspond to anything mathematical whatsoever. There's no reality to Sfeik Sfeika. It's a halachic concept called Rov of blackboard choices is considered to be a Rov. Finish, end of discussion. But when you're in the world of nature, so then we know that there's grain that grows. So we're trying to make an intelligent decision based on our information. We're trying to guess what are the facts in terms of when this particular grain grew. So what the Chavos Das is telling us really is a really fundamental yisod that the term Sfeik Sfeika doesn't mean the same thing all the time. Sometimes Sfeik Sfeika means officially formal Sfeik Sfeika. Then it's bound by the limitations of Sfeik Sfeika, Shem Echad, etc. And sometimes Sfeik Sfeika is just a coined phrase that really means Rove. Once it's Rove, then Rove. Rove, it's a rove, it's a rove.
Going back to
Machlokes
Rashba and the Rambam about whether how Sfeik Sfeika fundamentally works, could we say that the Rama theoretically holds like the Rashba? I mean, I don't know if that's true, and then it's only Shem Rove, and therefore this makes more sense, as opposed to saying he holds the Rambam, and it's a real Sfeik Sfeika, when he's basically now taking a left turn all the way.
Right, but even the Rashba says that it's a Rove. He doesn't mean it literally that it's a Rove, because it's not necessarily statistically a Rove. The Rashba says it's Bitin Rove, it's Bitam Rove. That's what we said, the blackboard Rove. It's a Rove of possibilities, but it's not a Rove of reality, because we don't really know what the statistics are.
Call it any type of Rove you want, but I'm saying
that. Okay, that means both Sfeik Sfeikas are rooted in Rove. They're working differently. One's a real bona fide Rove, and one's a Sfeik Sfeika Mitam Rove. Okay, maybe it means it's closer. It would make more sense why we call them Sfeik Sfeika. According to the Rambam, the classic Sfeik Sfeika has nothing to do with Rove, and this is already a whole new game. Maybe you know. So Kopanim, the first major cloud that we have whenever we deal with a Sfeik Sfeika, we have to ask ourselves, is this violating the rule of Sfeik Sfeika mitam mishem echad? So based on some of the things we spoke about in the last year, some of them Safeg Echad Yosef Mat Mechavero, principle we spoke about, the Tumas Hadesha, now we have the Chavos Das, this principle, the Ramos principle. So you have to always be careful, whenever you have a Sfeik Sfeika, are you violating the principle of Sfeik Sfeika mitam mishem echad or not? So this was basically the first of the Klal of Sfek Sfek. There are only 52 more. We're not going to do all 53 of them. We're going to just highlight the ones that we want to do. The second principle of Sfek Sfek also has its roots in Maseches Ksubos and Daftes, and that's the truth is where most of the principles are going to come from, because that's the only Gemara that says it, Mamash Beferish. The Gemara does use the term Sfek Sfek a little bit differently in a different Sugya of Avodah Zarah, but the Sfek Sfek that we are discussing now is really rooted in Daftes. So come to Rishonim and deal with the following question. Whenever you have a Sfek Sfek that appears in Daftes, so the Gemara always talks about two different possibilities. Sufek number one is, maybe this nus took place when she was married. Maybe this nus took place before she was married. And sufek number two, maybe this nus was be'ones, maybe this nus was be'ratzon. So it's the combination of ones, the sufek of ones, plus the sufek, maybe it happened before the marriage, that combined together, that's what creates the valid sfek sfek. It is clear from the Gemara that if either one of these sfekas falls by the wayside, either if it's an Ashes Kohen, so then the sufek of ones ratzon falls by the wayside, or if she was married before she was three, so then obviously this nus took place after she was married, because anything before three wouldn't be even showing up physically in the woman's body. So if either one of those two sfekas fall by the wayside, then we're going to be up the creek. Then we're going to have the sufek yechad, the sufek that rises to be the chumrah. We're going to be in trouble. So comes Tosus and asks the kasha. Tosus says, wait a second. What do you need two sfekas of sufek onus, sufek ratzon, sufek tachtav, sufek enetachtav? Maybe there's a totally different reason why she's not a besula. All we know is that she's not a besula. He realizes physically she's not a besula. Maybe she lost a besula for a different reason. Maybe she lost a besula because mukas eitz ani. So mukas eitz is an all-encompassing term, which literally means she was hit with a piece of wood. It basically means that she lost a besula in another physical way. She lost a besula through a medical, we'll call it a modern-day mukas eitz. She lost a besula through a medical procedure. She lost a besula. She went horseback riding when she was a kid. She lost her besula doing gymnastics, whatever. She lost her besula to mukasex, any other possible way. So comes Tysus and asks, why don't we say that's also a suffix? So what do we need two sfekas for? Why do we have to create a scenario where it's a suffix tachtav, suffix edetachtav, suffix onus, suffix ratzon? Why don't we incorporate one of the sfekas, just call it a suffix of mukasex, and that's going to be a better suffix. Because there are sometimes, like the Ashes Kohen, with the Pachas Rebas Gimel, but one of the Sfekas, the Gemara, falls by the wayside, and the Gemara says, Tak, it's not a good Sfek. The Gemara says, the woman is Asura. Why? We can create a new Sfek, the Sfek being Mukas Eitz. So comes tells and says, you're right, that Mukas Eitz really would be a good Sfek. There's just one small technical problem with the Sfek of Mukas Eitz. You know what the problem is? That she didn't say it. It's so much better for her to open up her mouth and say it. She could get out of the whole case. She's standing there in Beis Din. They're discussing when she was Mazana, when she wasn't Mazana, when she was Nance, and other. The girl should open up her mouth and say, I went to the doctor when I was 5 years ago, and I'm a Mukas Eitz, and finished. So from the fact that she doesn't say it, that indicates to us that that's not a good time. There's something fishy about that Svara of Mukas Eitz. So Taisha says the Mukas Eitz really should have worked, but technically, because of her lack of participation in the discussion, her lack of suggesting this idea of Mukas Eitz, that's what we have to reject. But other Rishonim say no, there's something much deeper, something more profound, why Mukas Eitz doesn't enter onto the radar screen. So come a group of Rishonim and say, let's play out the Sfek Sfeka involving Mukas Eitz. Let's watch the Sfek Sfeka, see what develops. So we're going to make the following stuff. We have a girl in front of us, and we see she's clearly not a Basula. So we'll go in the following direction. Maybe she has a Mukas Eitz, or maybe she had Bia. Okay, that's a good suffix, 50-50, very nice. And even in Tzoloma, she had Bia, she was Mazana, maybe it was Be'onis, maybe it was Be'ratzon. That's not bad, that's a very good sfeik. Sounds good to me. Come to Rishonim and say, okay, now let's go the other way around. Let's say the same exact sfeik, just starting from the other direction. Maybe she had Bia, Be'onis, and maybe she had Bia, Be'ratzon. And in Tzoloma, that she had Bia, Be'ratzon, maybe she's a Mukas Eitz. 1 second, that doesn't make any sense. He said, you just got finished, your first imtum saloma was that you're willing to concede that she had bia beratzon. Once you're willing to concede that she had bia beratzon, and now you want to continue to formulate this fake speaker, what you just said was contradictory. He said, your second suffix can't get off the ground, because your first, the way you were just patient, the first suffix just killed it. In the two sfeikas of the Gemara, so the two sfeikas have nothing to do with each other. So I could say, maybe it was Be'ones, maybe it was Be'ratzon. And even if it was Be'ratzon, well, maybe it happened at a different time. Maybe it happened before she was an Eishes Ish. So that's okay. You can go in all directions. You can word the sfeika one way, then you can turn it around and word the sfeika the other way. This particular sfeika is is there's a relationship between the two sveikas to such a degree that one suffix is in effect so to the other suffix. That's what the Rishonim called the phrase. It's a sveik sveikas eino mishapech, eino mishapeches. That it's not considered to be, it's not a reversible sveik sveikas. Any sveik sveikas that cannot be started from each direction, go in both directions, is automatically not considered to be a sveik sveikas. Now again, Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos asked the kasha. Tosfos gave a technical answer and didn't go the route of Sveik Sveik Shenim Mishapech, which may lead us to believe that Tosfos doesn't accept the principle of Einim Mishapeches, but Lemaisa other Rishonim do. The Shach and Klali Sveik Sveik points out that's how we assume Halacha, that there is such a problem. Any Sveik Sveik that can't be Mishapeches is by definition not a valid Sveik Sveik. The question is why? What exactly is wrong with a Sveik Sveik Shenim Mishapeches? What exactly is the Chisaron with a Sveik Sveik Shenim Mishapeches? So the Shach quotes from one of the Rishonim, a Lashon that's hard to know exactly what it means, but the Rishon seems to say, is that, just to make life more complicated, in case it wasn't complicated enough, every Sveik Sveikah She'enim Mishapeches is a suffix, whether it's a Sveik Sveikah or not. Because you don't really know which direction to go through. You don't know, how do you know which way to say the Sveik Sveikah? What gives you the right to decide that the Sveik Sveikah goes in one direction? Maybe it goes in the other direction. So it comes to the Yehuda and says, but this Rishon that the Shach is quoting, what this means to say is, every Sveik Sveikah is a suffix Sveik Sveikah. I mean, so every Sveik Sveikah that's not Mishapech. Any Sveik Sveikah that can't be said in both directions, since we have no way logically being Machriya, which way to say the Sveik Sveikah, so it's by definition we have a 50-50 chance whether we have a Sveik Sveikah on our hands. So what's the din? What do you do when you have a suffix whether you have a Sveik Sveikah? So says in Advuda, you have to be Machmir. We're dealing with the Araisas here. So we have a Shah that is a Araisa in our hands. We have a woman who may be a Suwa to her husband. We have other things that are suffix. We have Dam Nidus, we have this, we have suffix Shabbat, whatever the suffix is, we have a Shah in the love of the Araisa. So the only way that we could salvage this Shiloh, the only way we could be out there, is to invoke this brand new principle called Sveik Sveikah. Sveik Sveikah is a principle, the Araisa. So we don't know whether we have a Sveik Sveikah. It's like Moshe Lamadav Adama. We have a suffix whether a piece of food is kosher or not, and we have a robe that says it's kosher. So if the robe says it's kosher, Chayra Mahatos, then follow the robe. What if we don't know whether we have a robe? We can't get our statistics right. We're doing studies trying to figure out, do we have a robe or don't have a robe? One study says you do have a robe, the other study says you don't have a robe. So you have a suffix whether you have a robe. So what do you do when you have a suffix whether you have a robe? Tough, you have to be machmir. Because you have a suffix whether the matter, the rice of robe exists. If you have a suffix whether the matter of robe exists, then you have to fall back on Nebuch and say that you don't have it. You suffix, you don't have it. So says in that view that every sveik sveikah she'enim mishapeches is a suffix whether it's a sveik sveikah. So the Badia Shulchan quotes this to Yehuda, and he says he's not so convinced that's what the Shach really means. What it really may mean is, it's not that the Sveik Sveikah is no good b'taras Sufik. This Sveik Sveikah is no good b'taras Vadai. It means any Sveik Sveikah that can't work in both directions is Nishkin Sveik Sveikah. That's not the Chiddush of Sveik Sveikah. Sveik Sveikah has to be Gluck. The Sveik Sveikah has to be Klar. It has to be, you can play with any direction you want. Once we have problems, we don't even know how to start the Sveik Sveikah, so that shows that there's something wrong with the Sveik Sveikah. It's not a suffix that there's something wrong with it, it's that the inability to go in both directions indicates to us that this Sveik Sveikah doesn't meet the mark of Sveik Sveikah. So it's a very lomdish machlokes about the Shulchan with the Yehuda, about how bad is the Sveik Sveikah she'enim mishapech. But it's bad, it's no good. Bottom line, it doesn't work. It doesn't really matter for us whether it doesn't work with their suffix or a Zvandai. At the end of the day, every Sveik Sveikah has to meet the test of not being mishapech. So we have now a Sveik Sveikah of Shemechon, which is problematic. We have a Sveik Sveikah of Einim Mishapech is problematic. So each time we look at every Sveik Sveikah, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Is this qualifying or not qualifying based on some of these rules?
According to Tosfos, though, Tosfos doesn't come up with that solution.
Tosfos seems to ignore that, right? Tosfos seems to deny.
So could you say that, if you had a Sveik Sveikah that's not Mishapech, however, now it's a
it's a Sveik Sveikah. It's a Sveik Sveikah whether you have a Sveik Sveikah. Because maybe it's good, maybe it's no good. Even if it's no good, Tyson tells it is good.
Right.
That's a Sveik Sveikah squared. I don't know.
Okay, well, also, you put it back into the robe situation. You
have eight boxes now. I don't know.
Okay, it's still five out of eight. You're okay. No?
Sounds very complicated, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I
don't know. Maybe somebody talks about it. I don't know. You wrote the story. I don't know. Your parents should have
shown you.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know, I'm not sure. But comes the Shach and draws our attention to the fact that notwithstanding this rule of a Sveik Sveik Shenim Mishapech, there seem to be exceptions to this rule also. Just as we had the Ramah Bechadash, who's throwing some questions into the rule of Sveik Sveik Shenim into the rule of Sveik Sveik Shenim Echad, says the Shach, there seem to be some questions in the Rishonim, even within those Rishonim who do accept Sveik Sveik Shenim Mishapech, there seem to be some situations where somehow we forget about the issue that's not Mishapech. What's the case? It's based on a Rashba. We need a little bit of a background. There is a sugya that appears in Maseches Chulin, in the third parak, a sugya of Jerusa. So Jerusa means one of the treifas that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says all the treifas were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of the treifas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu is a din of Jerusa. Jerusa means when an animal is attacked by another animal, it's clawed by another animal. So you have a chves, you have a wolf, you have other, whatever it is, it comes and attacks a sheep, attacks a goat, whatever it is, and it claws the animal. Now, if it claws the animal and makes a hole into its stomach, it makes a hole into its lung, into its heart, and I put any din of Jerusa for, there's a din of Nekuvas Aleiv, and Nekuvas Aveshet, and Nekuvas Mayayim. There are a lot of din of treifas. We have holes in certain vital organs, so whether it happened by a wolf, it didn't happen by a wolf, it's still going to be a treifa. But here there's a Chiddush HaTorah called Jerusa, even though I don't really see anything happen. We send the animal to the vet, it's examined by the veterinarian, and there are no holes in the stomach. We give an ultrasound, and it passes. But it doesn't matter, the mere fact that it was Nidras, that it was attacked, that it was actually the claws of the animal were put into the sheep, into the goat, that in of itself is a potential issue of treifas. So that's the halacha mashum sinai called Jerusa. Again, a lot of sugyas in the Gemara about Jerusa. So comes the Gemara and discusses, what's the din if you have a suffix Jerusa? You're not sure whether the animal was clawed by the wolf or not. That's a whole sugya in of itself. Comes the Rashba and says, sometimes you can have a situation of a sveik-sveik of Jerusa. What's the sveik-sveik of Jerusa? I have a sheep that's sitting in its area, and there's a wolf running around. And I have some reason to believe that the wolf actually got into the barn where the sheep are, and I have some reason to believe that the wolf actually attacked one of the sheep. I don't have absolute evidence to this. It's not just the chalom laila. I have some reason, whatever it is. There's noise, there's this, I hear screaming, whatever's going on. There's some reason to believe that something fishy went on between the wolf and the sheep, but I don't really have any evidence of anything. So says the Rashba, I don't even know for sure that the wolf actually got into the barn, and I'm not sure, even if it got into the barn, I'm not really sure that it actually attacked one of the sheep. Says the Rashba, so you have a sveik sveik on your hands. Why? It's not a deraisa anymore. It's a sveik sveik. It's a sveik sveik. Maybe safek echad. Maybe the wolf never got into the barn in the first place. So that's a possibility. Nobody actually saw the wolf get in. We thought maybe we heard noise. We saw in the video. We can't tell. There's a safek. With the latest of 50-50 chance that the wolf made it into the barn. And then even if it's alone that it made it into the barn, we don't have absolute evidence that it really was doraised any of the sheep. So zafte rash, but that's okay. We could be mata no sheep. It's a sveik sveik. A safek it went into the barn in the first place. And if it's alone it went into the barn, well maybe it wasn't doraised the sheep. So comes the Shach and says, wait a second, that's not a good Sveik Sveika. It's almost Shemechad also. You mean the Suffolk is...
The first Suffolk did attack the sheep, the second one did attack
the sheep. Did attack the sheep. Well, the first Suffolk is worded a little bit differently. That touches a little bit on what we spoke about last week.
Mati, yeah. He said Shemechad is that if you have two, but one is more common.
Right, so that's a question.
The first one is didn't come in at all, didn't attack any sheep.
Right.
The second one is to attack this sheep. So maybe the first one may be all coming, maybe.
Could be. I'd have to learn that again better about Sveik Jerusa. So comes the Rashba and says, well, you have a Sveik Sveika. He has the Shach, I mean, you have a Sveik Sveika. Let's word the Sufik very carefully. Let's create the Sveik Sveika. Let's draw it on the board very carefully. So Sufik Echad, maybe the wolf entered into the barn. And even if it's a lomar, maybe it didn't attack the sheep. That's good. So let's do it the other way around. Let's try it to be Mahafachit. So Safek Echad is, maybe the wolf attacked the sheep, and maybe it didn't attack the sheep. And even if it's a lomar, it attacked the sheep, maybe the wolf never came into the barn. So how to do that? How to attack the sheep if it wasn't in the barn? So says the Shach, that's classic violation of Sveik Sveik of Hashem Echad. So I'm sorry, Sveik Sveik of Hashem Echad. So how do you work with that? How do you deal with that? What kind of a Sveik Sveik is that? So comes the Shach and says the answer to the Rashba is as follows. That when do we say that Sveik Sveika, which is Einam Mishapech, is no good? That's when the two Sveikas are not logically connected to one another. There's nothing that's compelling us to start the suffering in one direction. Like in the case of that, maybe it's, what was the example of the case of Mishapech, the case of Mukhazaitz. So There's no correlation between maybe she's a mukos eitz, maybe she's not a mukos eitz, maybe it was ba'onis, maybe it was baratzon. So there's no reason to start the sfeik sfeik in one direction. Mehecha teisi, you start the sfeik sfeik in the doctor's office. Mehecha teisi, you start it figuring out how she was mezana, ba'onis or baratzon. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So then you have to have the ability to start the sfeik sfeik in both directions. But when the sfeik sfeik logically is pointing that, of course you say the first suffix first. What kind of meshuggah that starts on the second end? Over here, I have a sheep and I have a wolf. The wolf's running around outside and the sheep is sitting inside the barn. So if I'm running a detective, imagine I'm trying to figure out what happened. So I'm trying to make an investigation. So the first investigation was the wolf even here? Before I figure out what happened, did the wolf even enter into the scene? So of course I start the suffix that way. Of course that's the first question you have to ask yourself. We need to start to have a discussion. Did the wolf attack the sheep? Where's the wolf? I don't see any wolf here. So of course you have to be down on the wolf coming into the barn first. So Zok the Shach, whenever the sfeik sfeik is in such a direction where it's muvan me'ilav, it's muchach, common sense dictates that you go in one direction, so then you go in that direction, and that's called the sfeik sfeik. The fact that you can't be ma'apichit, what do you have to be ma'apichit for? Nobody would ever be ma'apichit. So in the course of a normal investigation, you go in one direction. That's the exception to the rule of a sfeik sfeik, which is einem esapeches. So Kopanim, so we have our two klalim over here. We have a klal of Sveik Sveik of Shemechon, and we have a klal of Sveik Sveik of She'enu Mishapech. And the pashas advarim is that these two klalim don't do with each other. You can have one without the other. Haraya, they don't have anything to do with each other. Valiatisis. The Valiatisis and Subastaf Des were the ones who brought us, who created for us the klal of Shemechon. There is no Gemara about either of these klalim. There's no Gemara beferish about either of these klalim. Tisis' interpretation of the Gemara, why didn't the Gemara ask for Pita Ketana Aynes, force Tisis to create the klal of Shemechon? Whereas the same Balei Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Tes did not accept the klal of Einam Mishapech. They didn't give the answer of Mukos Eitz of being Einam Mishapech. It sounds like Tosfos accepts one, doesn't accept the other. The two klalim have to do with each other. And the Shach also, the Shach counts them as two separate klalim. The Shach sounds like these two klalim. You can have one, you can have the other. Some Rishonim may accept one, may accept the other. They're not Tolei Zebizeh. One of the Acharonim in Yeridei, the Teres HaShlom, at the bottom of the Shach Sveik Sveika, says no. The Teres HaShlom claims that basically these klalim are the same. That the klal of, you have to really think through each case to see if it's true. But each case of Shem Echad is really just a violation of Eino Mishapich. It means whenever it's a Shem Echad, so you're always going to run into a problem of trying to re-say the same klal over again. Because what Shem Echad means is that it's the same suffix. So how can you say, well, maybe it's mutter, maybe it's also because it is, but it's mutter because of something else. But it's the same thing. How can it be also and mutter for the same reason? So every time you have a Shem Echad, by default, what you're really going to have is an Einam Safik. So the Teres HaShlom claims that there is no independent klal called Shem Echad. Shem Echad is just a subcategory of Einam Safik. But again, not everyone agrees to that. So you have to really, break your head on Sveik Sveik is to figure out, is that true? Are they always the same, or can you actually have differences between them?
So how does he explain Shana
Tosfos? Right, it's against us, right. He says against us. He says, I don't know if he says it himself, but others point out it's against us. So Kopana, we have these either two possible klal of Sveik Sveik, or one possible klal of Sveik Sveik with two different parts to it. Now we move on to a third possible klal in terms of Vilcha Sveik Sveik. And those are in terms of the statistics. When we speak about Sveik Sveik, so we always say, colloquially, well, it's a 50% chance this is true, 50% chance that is true. And even if that's true, then 50%, do those numbers really mean anything? Are we really certain that we have 50% chances on each of these sveikas? So this opens up a whole new story about what's the halacha of one of the sveikas, or both of the sveikas, are not what we call an halacha safek hashokol. But it's not a 50-50 chance. What if the odds are working against us? It means each one of those sveikas is really a rove against us. That there's a 90% chance that it's taka also for the first reason. And it's a 90% chance that it's also for the second reason. Those sveikas are not suffik ashokols. Can we still invoke the principle of sveik sveik or not? So this is also based on the Tosfos, on the same suit, the same daf. We're really learning Ksubas daf test right now. I remember when I said Shiyan Ksubas, it was back 9 years ago. So we learned like the first half of the year we learned until daf test, and then the second half of the year we pretty much learned daf test. We spent a little bit after that, but daf test has a lot of sikis on it. So comes Tosfos and asks another kasha about the sveik sveika, going back to the original sveik sveika of the Gemara. So comes Tosfos and says the Gemara makes a whole pilpul about you have to have a sveik sveika. It's a suffik oinis, suffik ratzon. It's got to be a suffik tachtav, a suffik eda tachtav. Says Tosfos, Why do you need a Svek Sveka for? Why does the Gemara have to even invoke the principle of Svek Sveka? This woman has something else working in her favor, something totally different. Namely, she has a chazaka. She has a status quo that she's muteres. She used to be muteres. She used to be a mesula. She used to be okay. Now, some latest asafik, what went wrong? So we have a klal, you follow chazaka. We didn't even begin to discuss chazaka. So hopefully next year we continue the sugyas of Sveka. So we're going to get back into the realm of chazaka mekarach and chashta. All the rules of following the chazaka is the status quo. The Gemara says there's a din min haTorah we derive from Pashas Negoyim, a whole complicated story. There's a principle called following Chazaka Mekor. We follow Chazaka Mekor all the time. I always give the example. Nobody checks their tefillin every day. Why not? They were kosher yesterday, they were kosher last year, they were kosher 10 years ago. So unless something radically happened, you assume that they're still kosher. So whenever you have any suffix, any shiloh whatsoever, we always follow Chazaka. So he asks, tells us, why does the Gemara have to go run to Sveik Sveika? Let it be a suffix, whether it's onus or ratzon. So it's a suffix, whether it's onus, whether it's ratzon. She'll still be muteris. Forget about the suffix tachta. She'll still be muteris based on the chazaka. So it comes to us and says, no, not so simple. Telsa says, there is a problem with the chazaka. You know what the problem is? Is that the suffix of onus or ratzon is not a suffix of shuffle. It's not a 50-50 suffix. You know why? Says Telsa, it's more likely that it was be ratzon than it was be onus. Says Telsa, you know why? If it was be'ones, that means a crime was committed, somebody was attacked, word gets out, it hits the newspapers, it's on the radio. Nah, it's be'ratzon. There are, I think we could safely say, there are more zenusim that take place be'ratzon than be'ones. Ratzon doesn't draw any attention. Ones draws a lot of attention. And there wasn't any attention yet. Nobody seems to remember that there was a case of ones. Nobody remembers that it was being talked about in town. It must be, most probably, it was be'ratzon. So Tosfos says, guess what? This quote-unquote suffix, this great suffix we've been talking about for the last month, of suffix be'ones, suffix be'ratzon, is not a suffix of shochel. It's not a 50-50 suffix. The odds are pointing against her, that it's most probably be'ratzon, most probably it wasn't be'ones. And therefore, we can no longer invoke chazaka. Why? Because we have a rule that appears in the end of Kedusha, hopefully we'll talk about this also in the future. What do you do when you have a rove against the chazaka? Rove points in one direction. The odds are such and such, but the chazaka points in the other direction. The status quo is such and such. So it's a machlekes haTorah, and we postulate the chamim ruv v'chazaka ruv adif, that the rove beats out the chazaka min haTorah. Rove overcomes chazaka. Rove is greater than chazaka. Why that's true, conceptually, we have to talk about that hopefully in the future. But ruv v'chazaka ruv adif is the basic principle of the end of Maseches Kedushin, so gives him Maseches Chul, and Ruv v'Chazak Ruv Adif. So Taisa says you can't invoke a Chazaka and say she's home free because she has a Cheskes Hetel Abayla. No, there's a robe that she was Beratzel, not a robe that she was Be'ainez. So therefore, Ruv v'Chazak Ruv Adif. So this suffix that we've been building up, we've been talking about for the last month, this suffix owner, suffix Ratzel, says Taisa, is not really a suffix of Shachol. So Taisa says, hey, wait a second, if it's not a suffix of Shachol, so how come it qualifies as a Sveik Sveik? How could we turn it around and use that suffix and say suffix be'ainis suffix be'ratzon? Even if it's be'ratzon, maybe it's before she was maybe suffix tachtav, suffix ena tachtav. Stop, says Taisvis. It's not a suffix ashoko. How dare you use a suffix be'ainis suffix be'ratzon as one of your sveikas? It's not a suffix ashoko. And everybody knows, says Taisvis, that in order for a suffix sveika to be valid, each suffix has to be a suffix ashoko. It's got to be a 50-50 suffix. Once you tell me that the odds are working against her, is nishkin suffix sveika? That's Taisvis. So Taisus has to come up with a very razzle-dazzle shot where Taisus says that, well, did I just tell you, says Taisus, that there's a rove that it's a ratzon? Because otherwise we would have known about it, says Taisus. That's not such a real rove. It's not an absolute ironclad song. It's more than 50%. It looks like a rove, says Taisus. It appears to us to be a rove, but Minan Torah, it's not a rove, says Taisus. It's a derabonadik a rove. It's a chumr b'yam a rove, says Taisus. So therefore we're not going to rely on this suffix. Just a 50, we're not going to call it a 50-50 suffix to overcome a chazaka. We're not going to let this woman get away by saying that, well, she has a cheskes hat, therefore everything's home free. No. This suffix is not such a kosher looking suffix. It appears to us to be a rove, so therefore we're not going to follow chazaka mekar. But says tells us, it's lemaisin is a suffix of shachol. Between you and me, I'll leave it to the MS, it probably is a suffix of shachol. It's good enough shachol, it's not a real absolute rove ben Torah. So therefore, for the purposes of sveik, we'll still call it a suffix of shachol. Well, so Tosis really is walking a tightrope here. Is it yes, shachol or not shachol? Problem is with all these kinds of roves, how do you ever get statistics on such a thing? How do you get a rove times that women are mizana or beratzon or be'ainis? I mean, if you live in a world of morality, you live in a world where people are being shomer Torah mitzvahs, so maybe you can make such a rove. It's hard to say. So comes tells them, throws their hands up and says, well, this row, this suffix is kind of a suffix of shuffle. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But what do you see from Tosfos? From the whole Mahalach of Tosfos, you see that Tosfos had a real problem. If it's not a suffix of shuffle, if it would be honest to goodness not be a suffix of shuffle, it would not qualify for a suffix faker. So you see... Oh, we're gonna get okay. We're gonna. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, very good. We're gonna get to that. One of the sfeikas is a shochel, and the other one is not. So we still have short.
But in this specific case, don't you have the opposite? Let's say she's a 19-year-old, but she's had 7-8 years. The zman says that could have been natah.
Right, right. I mean, maybe that goof was considered to be. The only problem is that Tosfos points out you have another factor there. The factor is that the chazaka was she was a basula for the last. When she was born, so she's still a basula, basula, basula till the last possible moment. So that chazak is going to do her in. Because that chazak is going to say this nus probably happened at the most recent date. So you have multiple chazakas and rows which are canceling each other out. That's part of the taisus. That's what each taisus in suva stuff test is a sugi in and of itself. Anyway, getting back to the story. So you see from taisus, whatever you do with this taisus about that is the suffix of shakal, the asaf of shakal, one thing is crystal clear from taisus. Imtum tzaloiv, it's not a suffix of shakal, it's not going to work for sfeik sfeika. Taisus is assuming that. That for a suffix to be qualified as a sfeik sfeika, it must be a suffix of shakal. So we're going to see hopefully in the next year, is that really true? Do other Rishonim agree with this tais, disagree with this taisus, and this is going to come back to haunt us back to that sfeik sfeika from Milchus Nida. So again, we're still in the continuation between the Nida and the sfeik sfeika, so is, but remember back to that old sfeik sfeika of the Ramah, maybe the blood's from the Mokar, maybe it's from the Tzadim, and even if it's from the Mokar, maybe it's from the Makar and the Mokar, we have to go back to that Ramah and say, are those sfeikas ashkulim? Is that a suffix? A woman is bleeding from that area. So the odds are this is probably coming from the mokar, not from the tzadim. Most women do not bleed necessarily from the tzadim. So that Ramah is going to throw a whole monkey wrench into sfeikas in terms of suffix ashkulim. Hopefully, next week.
So
we'll
try. That it is
right, right. Tosfos says it really is a suffix ashkulim. Right. Tosfos breathes a sigh. It midrabbanim and machmir that it's not a suffix ashkulim, and therefore we're not going to be machmir based on chazaka, but we'll call it enough for suffix ashkulim with sfeikas. But imtum tzalim, it wouldn't have been a suffix ashkulim, then it would have been up the creek. And okay, hopefully, next week we'll try to put together some of the odds and ends of sfeikas. And that next week, Mitzvah is going to be the last shia for the till after the summer. Okay, and then we'll figure out after the summer where we'll suffer, where we'll go. We'll figure out what we'll do.